$200 billion. I think that number could move, obviously. It takes money to kill bad guys. So we're going back to Congress and our folks there to ensure that we're properly funded for what's been done, for what we may have to do in the future, ensure that our ammunition is, everything's refilled, and not just refilled, but above and beyond. I mean, President Trump, as he said, rebuilt the military in his first term, didn't think he'd use it as dynamically in his second, but he had. So thank goodness he did that. And an investment like this is meant to say, hey, we'll replace anything that was spent. And now that we're reviving our defense industrial base and rebuilding the arsenal of freedom and cutting deals like our great deputy secretary here is doing, long lead times on exquisite munitions, we're going to be refilled faster than anyone imagined. And I think, you know, we're also still dealing with the environment that Joe Biden created, which was depleting those stockholds and not sending them to our own military, but to Ukraine, which is when you, every time we reach back and look at any sort of a challenge we have, it goes back to, well, send it to Ukraine. Ultimately, we think this should be these munitions are better spent in our own interests at this point. And this kind of funding bill is going to ensure that we're properly funded going forward.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, March the 19th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Pete Hegseth and his briefing to the media about the war in Iran, the war with Iran. And Pete Hegseth, he revealed that the Pentagon is now looking for an additional $200 billion for the Iran war. It takes money to kill bad guys, Hegseth said. It takes money to kill bad guys. It takes $200 billion to kill bad guys. Why is there so much music playing down that way? I don't want to walk down that way. It's a lot of money to kill them bad guys, according to Pete Hegseth. So the Washington Post, they reported on this $200 billion earlier in the day, and Hegseth has confirmed the WaPo's reporting. Just last week, it was $50 billion in additional funding. Things have gone up. Inflation. They're preparing for a long war. Why else would they want the $200 billion on top of a budget of $1 trillion? Where does that $1 trillion go? They already get $1 trillion. Next year, it's going to be $1.5 trillion. And now they want an additional $200 billion. So Pete Hegseth also talked about how the Pentagon is still having to deal with Bidenopolis and the fact that he was giving weapons to Project Ukraine. And the Pentagon is still cleaning up Bidenopolis' mess of giving weapons to Project Ukraine. And so they're having to deal with all of that as well. But everything's under control, according to Pete Hegseth. Everything's under control. Now let's go grab some beers, bros. So, Scott Bessent, he's talking about the war, right? He's talking about Carg Island, and how U.S. President Trump has been focused on Carg Island for many years, I believe. What did Bessent say? Since 2018 or something like that. Trump has been focused on Carg Island, the importance of taking Carg Island, and Bessent said that the U.S. is going to take it. They got a plan, and that plan is to take Carg Island. And then Bessent told Maria Bartiromo that we are starting to see defections in the Iranian regime. The regime is starting to crumble. This is what the Treasury Secretary is talking about. I'm the U.S. Treasury Secretary, and I'm telling you right now that we're starting to see defections in the regime, and we're going to take Karg Island. As the U.S. Treasury Secretary, I'm here to tell you, Maria Bartiromo, we're going to take Karg Island. Besant, Scotty Besant from Reuters. The U.S. is going to weigh military reinforcements as Iran war enters possible new phase. According to Reuters and a document that they have seen, the Trump administration is going to send more troops on top of the 5,000 troops that are on their way, the Marines actually, which are on their way to the region. On top of those 5,000, Trump is going to send in the reinforcements. The reinforcements, according to Reuters, will provide Trump with more options with regards to the conflict, the war with Iran. Have you guys ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? That's what this reminds me of. Anyway, just a random thought. It's nice. Very nice, beautiful. But the music is coming from somewhere over there. Anyway, I think we'll be all right. So what are these reinforcements going to do? What are they going to accomplish? What are the options? It's going to provide Trump with options, the reinforcements, the escalation. The mission creep will provide Trump with the options of taking Karg Island, taking the Strait of Hormuz. Option one is Karg Island. Option two is taking the Strait of Hormuz, control of that. And option three is to find the uranium and take the uranium, which is located somewhere in Iran. Shouldn't be too hard. Iran's a pretty small country. Not many places to hide uranium. Should be pretty easy to just go into Iran and find the uranium and then get out. No problem. No problema. So that is what Reuters is reporting. And yesterday we had a massive escalation. And this is an interesting story. Interesting events that happened yesterday. Interesting denials that happened yesterday. So Israel, without the United States, according to Trump, Israel decided to attack the South Pars gas field in Iran. So they hit this gas field, this very important gas field in Iran. And Iran then said they're going to retaliate. And sure enough, they did retaliate. And boy, did they retaliate. By hitting the Ras Laffan Qatar LNG facility, which provides approximately 20% of the global LNG supply. 20% of the global LNG supply. It's a lot of LNG. Europe is cooked. The EU is effed. They get a lot of their LNG from Qatar. They are effed. 20%. Wow. They hit it. They smashed it. They smashed it. Not all of it, because it is a massive, massive gas field. But they did a lot of damage. Just a few missile strikes, and they did enough damage so that this gas field is shut down, taken offline, and it's going to probably take around 5 years to fix. So Trump, he said that he had no idea that Israel was going to do this. No idea is what Trump is telling us. He had no clue. He was completely in the dark. Left completely out in the dark. In the dark. He was out of the decision-making process. The President of the United States had no idea that Israel was going to to hit Iran gas fields, the South Pars field. No clue. And so Trump posted on Truth Social, Israel, out of anger for what has taken place in the Middle East, has violently lashed out at a major facility known as South Pars gas field in Iran, a relatively small section of the whole has been hit. The United States knew nothing about this particular attack, and the country of Qatar was in no way, shape, or form involved with it, nor did it have any idea that it was going to happen. Unfortunately, Iran did not know this or any of the pertinent facts pertaining to the South Pars attack, and unjustifiably and unfairly attacked a portion of Qatar's LNG gas facility. No more attacks will be made by Israel pertaining to this extremely important and valuable South Pars field unless Iran unwisely decides to attack a very innocent, in this case, Qatar, in which instance the United States will then retaliate. And he goes on and on in his post. I won't read you the whole thing, but I think you guys get the gist. Didn't Qatar give Trump that airplane? That small little airplane? I think that was Qatar. They had no clue. Trump had no clue. Israel attacked the gas field because it was out of anger. Don't look back in anger, I heard her say. And Iran knew none of this as well. Trump said Iran knew none of all. They didn't know any of this information, that Qatar didn't know, that Trump didn't know, and that Israel was angry, and that's why they did it. So Iran knew none of this, and so they retaliated. It was all one big misunderstanding. But it gets better. It gets worse. Not better, worse. But Israel, according to Axios, they are saying, no, 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 Mr. Trump. Don't you dare say you did not know. You did know. From Barak Ravid of Axios, contrary to Trump's statements, senior Israeli and U.S. officials said that the United States had prior knowledge of the Israeli strike and even approved it in an attempt to pressure Iran. After the Iranians retaliated against Qatar's gas fields, Trump is now changing course. Ooh. Wow. All right. That's where we are with this story. Israel saying you knew. Don't you say you didn't know. You approved the freaking thing. You approved it. You knew exactly what we were doing. We would not be able to do it without you. They're right. Israel would not be able to do these things without the approval of the United States. Let's be real. So yeah, that's Israel throwing Trump under the bus. Don't you blame this on us. Don't you dare throw us under the bus. We're going to throw you under the bus. So Iran also hit a port in Saudi Arabia, and an oil facility port in Saudi Arabia, and that port for loading oil, exporting oil, has now been shut down. Energy Armageddon, that is what we are seeing. And then we have the interesting news, and I don't believe Hegseth talked about this. Hegseth is painting the picture of Iranian drones and missile launches continuing to decrease, trying to tell the American people that his war strategy is working. But we got the very interesting news that Iran is launching more drones and missiles again. They also seem to be hitting something much more frequently than before. So more drones and more missiles are now being launched. You saw the graph, the uptick, the swing up in missile and drone launches over the past couple of days. And they're also hitting more targets. So that's an interesting development. More missiles, more successful hits, perhaps because of less air defense. So the FBI might be investigating Joe Kent. This is according to Semaphore. Exclusive FBI investigates intelligence aide who resigned over war. They're really going after Joe Kent now. They are really smearing him. They're going after him. I'm starting to hear the whole Russia connection again. I knew we would go here. I knew it. We're starting to get the Russian agent, Russian cooperation, Russia involved in all of this, and they're trying to connect Kent to Russia and to Putin. And now we are getting some reports which claim that the FBI, Kash Patel, may actually investigate Kent for leaking. Can you imagine the FBI going after Kent and not doing anything about Epstein? Unbelievable if that's what happens. Shameful. Unbelievable if that is what is going to happen. If they go after Kent and they're just ditching all of the Epstein stuff. But that's probably what's going to happen. So Tulsi Gabbard, Kent's superior, DNI, she was speaking to Congress, to lawmakers. Gabbard, Patel, and Ratcliffe, they were giving an update on everything that is going on, especially with the war in Iran. And Gabbard was asked about an imminent threat. Was there an imminent threat to the United States to justify Trump's war against Iran? And just like her post on X yesterday, Gabbard's response to Joel Ossoff from Georgia, Senator from Georgia, I believe, her response to Mr. Ossoff was that Trump, he is ultimately the one who decides if there is an imminent threat. We provide the intel. If Trump says there's an imminent threat, then so be it. She's putting it all on Trump. And the pushback from Ossoff was, no, that's not the way it works. You're head of intel. You're the director of intel. You provide the intelligence, and you provide the assessment, and you advise the president. And Gabbard wouldn't go there. She kept on saying it's Trump that decides, it's the president that decides if something's an imminent threat, not me. Also said, was it the assessment of the intelligence community that there was an imminent nuclear threat posed by the Iranian regime? Gabbard, the only person who can determine what is and is not an imminent threat is the president. It is not the intelligence community's responsibility to determine what is and is not an imminent threat. Ossoff, it is precisely your responsibility. This is the worldwide threats hearing where, as you noted in your opening testimony, quote, you represent the IC's assessment of threats. Why is Gabbard not saying that she presented the intel to Trump and her conclusion was that Iran did not pose an imminent threat? Because my sense of things is that this is exactly what she told Trump. Hence the resignation from Joe Kent, who also said Iran was not posing an imminent threat. And Kent was no fan of Iran. He hated Iran. He despised Iran. He said in past videos how much he despised Iran. He was talking about it with Tucker Carlson in the interview that they had the other day. Absolutely despised Iran. He had no problem getting into a conflict with Iran if he believed that they were posing an imminent threat. But But there's no doubt about it, at least in my mind. I don't want to say no doubt about it because I wasn't there. I'm not working for Tulsi Gabbard. But my opinion is that Tulsi and Kent and her office, they presented Trump with the intel which showed that Iran did not pose an imminent threat. But she passed it all off on Trump. Trump decides. We don't do anything. We stay out of it. He decides. We give him the intel. He decides. So the EU has their big summit today. The three big topics on the agenda for the EU elite, the cool kids of Europe. The three big agenda topics are Project Ukraine and giving Ukraine a $90 billion loan, because it's going to be a loan which Ukraine does not have to pay back. They don't even have interest on the loan, but they're calling it a loan. How do we get the $90 billion to Ukraine? Because Viktor Orban continues to veto that $90 billion. Agenda topic number two is the Iran war and the energy crisis. What do we do? What do we do about the Iran war, the Strait of Hormuz, and the energy crisis, which is going to screw us as the European Union? What do we do about that? Probably sanction Russia. That's probably the best thing to do. Sanction Russia. That's how you solve the catastrophic energy crisis that is going to absolutely affect the EU in a big, big way. And topic number three is how to deal with Trump. How do you deal with Trump, who is very upset at Europe's betrayal, because Europe does not want to be part of Trump's Hormuz coalition, and he's very bitter about that. He feels very, very bitter, betrayed. So they're trying to figure out how do we deal with Trump's feelings of betrayal. So those are the three agendas, three topics that they are discussing, a very important meeting for the elite in Brussels. And I'll report on the outcomes tomorrow from the initial interviews that have taken place. It looks like Orban is going to continue to veto the $90 billion. That's how it looks. Orban said something along the line of you know what? We will not accept just promises from Ukraine that they're going to open up the Druzhba pipeline. Once the oil is actually flowing to Hungary, then we'll remove the veto. Because right now, what Orban has from Ursula, the promise that he has from Ursula and from Le Gobelin Vert, is that they pinky swear, we absolutely promise. Yeah, I promise you, Viktor Orban, I promise you can trust me, Viktor, that they're going to investigate the Druzhba pipeline and try to figure out what is wrong with it, the damage assessment, and how long it'll take to fix it. And Orban is saying, no, I'm not going to be fooled this time around. I want it fixed, and I want the oil flowing, and then I'll lift the veto. That's the initial reports, the initial interviews. Of course, by the time I publish this video, we'll probably have a better understanding as to what was discussed and what was decided. Maybe Orban lifts the veto. Maybe he says, you know what, I'm just going to lift the veto. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he holds firm. We will find out. Stunning and brave Kaya Kallas, she said that if Orban does not lift the veto, then Europe has a plan B, which is for EU member states to give bilateral loans to Ukraine. I'm all for that. Any country in the European Union that wants to sign an agreement with Ukraine and give them a bilateral loan, go ahead. Couldn't care less. Your problem. That is your problem. Interesting that you have an energy catastrophe about to smash Europe, which is already in recession, which is already broke, which is already undergoing deindustrialization. And they're still thinking about $90 billion to the Green Goblin. Unbelievable, huh? You would think that they would try to save their monies, save their pennies, save their euros, because you're going to need the money, because you're going to have a big energy shortage, a big energy crisis. You're going to have all kinds of inflation going on. You would think that they would be saving whatever they have. Nope. They're still discussing giving $90 billion to Le Gobelin Vert. Incredible. Peskov, the Kremlin spokesman, he announced that the trilateral meeting format between Russia, Ukraine, and the United States has been officially dissolved. It is over. No more tripartite, trilateral, tri-whatever. No more tri-whatever talks and discussions. That format, according to the Kremlin, is finito, over and done with. But what the Kremlin is going to do is that... Actually, let's walk this way. Let's go down there. What the Kremlin is going to do is they're going to keep the discussions between Dmitriev and Witkoff ongoing. They're going to keep that door open. So the U.S. and Russia, Dmitriev and Witkoff, will continue to communicate. But the three-way meetings, that's over. Wow. All right. Staying with Russia, they are going to be sending an oil tanker and gas to Cuba. Two ships will be headed towards Cuba in order to provide some relief to the government and the people of Cuba. The tankers are on their way. We will see if the United States lets those tankers through. I believe they will let those tankers through. And the only reason I say that is because the tankers will provide about 15 to 30 days worth of oil and gas. It'll be a very temporary fix, a humanitarian mission, call it that, to give Cuba some more time to figure things out. Will they continue to negotiate with the United States? Will they talk to China, to Russia, to BRICS? They'll get 2 to 4 weeks time with these tankers. So I think that the United States, because the Trump administration is so wrapped up in this disastrous war in Iran, they'll probably say, you know what? Let those tankers through. It's only going to be a couple of weeks that Cuba will get. We can remain focused on Iran, and then we'll see what we do with Cuba. That's what Rubio is probably saying, because Rubio is heading up the whole Cuba regime change project, the taking over of Cuba. That's Rubio's gig, Rubio's pet project. So gas prices did surge after the smashing of these gas fields. To be expected. No surprise there. And we are getting news that European airlines are starting to ground their fleets. Scandinavian Airlines has canceled 1,000 flights in April due to soaring fuel prices, because of the war in Iran and the situation around the Strait of Hormuz. So a very, very dark, gloomy situation for Europe. Gas prices surging. How this is going to affect flights and tourism as we head into spring and summer, we'll see. Not looking good. The damage that is being done is going to take a long time to fix, even if we get some sort of a resolution to the conflict today or tomorrow. Even if that were to happen, it would take months, if not years, to fix everything. So So let's do some clown worlds. And we can wrap this video up. See, we got TikTokers in Cyprus as well. We got people doing some TikTok videos. I can't do any TikTok videos. Not my style. So, clown world, how about this cover from the neocon magazine, The Economist, with Trump and his helmet, Operation Blind Fury. That's Neocon Economist. Dreadful magazine, The Neocon Economist. Dreadful. But you can see that the neocons are almost there to blame this all on Trump. You can see the neocons, what they're preparing to do. And Lindsey Graham is part of that group. If this thing goes south, this Iran war, the neocons are going to blame it all on Trump. All of it. Another reason why Trump continues to escalate. Can't get out of this thing. Even if he wanted to, I don't believe he wants to, but even if he did want to, there's no way out. Unfortunately for all of us, Politico is saying that Estonia is ready to talk on the Strait of Hormuz coalition, providing some backup to the United States. What did I say yesterday about Estonia? Did I not call this? when Trump was complaining, I was talking about this yesterday, Trump complaining about not having a coalition like Bush and Obama and Biden. They all got coalitions. How come I don't have a coalition? I said, you know what? Estonia, the Baltic states, they'll join your coalition, DJT. And sure enough, we have Estonia saying, we'll join your coalition. We'll help you open up the Strait of Hormuz. They're going to provide minesweepers. That is what our minesweeping know-how, I believe. I believe the know-how. I don't think they actually have the minesweepers. Maybe they do. But that's what they're going to help Trump with. Sweep in the mines. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg, sensei. Sensei, sweep the leg. Sweep the leg. What movie is that from? What movie is that from? Sweep the leg. So yeah, Estonia is giving Trump his first coalition win. Yes. I'm building a coalition, baby. The mighty Estonia. Ready to join the Hormuz coalition. And finally, we have this post from the great Robert Barnes, which is pretty funny. Very funny, actually. In these horrible, horrific, catastrophic times, it's important to try and relax and to try and smile a bit, even though things are going really, really fucking bad. Anyway, here is a post from Robert Barnes, which has the Dow Jones Industrial at 46,225. Which means it is under 50,000. It dropped 800 points. 800 points. And Barnes says, since the Dow is below 50,000, can Pam Bondi prosecute the Epstein criminals now? It is under 50,000. Robert has a point. How about now, Pam? Can we do something about Epstein now? Under 50K? What do you think? No? No, Pam? Not yet? Okay. Maybe when it goes under 45, maybe under 45, Pam will do something about the Epstein files. Anyway, that's the video. I will end it there. Literan.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram, everything is closed. The Nicosia, everything is closed, pretty much. That stuff's open. Kind of open. It's top level. Shops are closed. Check us out on Locals. check us out on Substack. Go to the Duran Shop, pick up some merch. We have 30% off selected merchandise. So I've got my Duran merch, and I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.